father. Or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron assemble and bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to the program. My guest today is Renato Pagliafito. It makes me put on my stupid American-Italian accent. I used to be able to choke out most any kind of Italian word to order food or drink, but never politics, none of that. Renato, baking is tough, and you know, most anybody can take a box cake mix and make a layer cake, blah. And it's good. I kind of think that there's ingredients in a distance in part of the artistry is some of the ingredients. And I think back then the water in Aviano, Italy was some of the best I ever had. I mean, right out of this spigot in the community square, cold water from a deep underground thing. Does water play an important role in making fine pastry?
You know, that's always debatable. I mean, but I do believe, a fine quality water, something that's just clear and pure, lends itself to a better pastry. You know, they always say that about like bagels in New York. It's like, why can't you recreate a really good bagel outside of, recreate a good bagel outside of New York? And they always say, oh, it's the water. It's the New York water. And, you know, I part of me tends to believe that. But baking is all about the ingredients, especially when you don't have many ingredients in the recipe. Every ingredient kind of needs to shine on its own. And then when put together, it creates a beautiful final product if you put it together correctly.
You know, and I said artistry, but there's science and artistry, and that harks back to the idea of you better pay attention to measurements. If it says, you know, 1 ounce of this, whatever, you better use 1 ounce. You had a lot of help in your previous books. In fact, I think if I remember right, you called this your first solo book. I like that. Talk about, well, who helped you with the first books? And you had a little help with this one too, but not in the recipe development.
Yeah, well, so the first four books I worked on with my business partner, Matt, who was my partner at the cafe at Baked. And he and I kind of composed the books together, along with the last two books that we wrote. We had recipe developers as well. Jessie Sheehan, who is a famous baker in her own right, helped us develop a bunch of recipes in the third and fourth book. This book I worked on with a good friend of mine, Casey Elsass, who is an author in his own right, a cookbook author as well. But he calls himself a book doula, and it's really true. I mean, he works with everyone who is like working on a cookbook currently in like Brooklyn and Manhattan or whatever is like Casey's in their corner, helping them out. And he really just kind of helps you schedule. He does some recipe development as well. He'll test. He'll be as involved or as uninvolved as you want him to be. But the end result is like meeting the deadlines and really kind of just like polishing the final edit.
Well, you talking, I'm thumbing through, looking at photos. You had to have a talented food stylist or somebody that was lucky to take pictures and then get to eat all the stuff you fixed.
Yeah, no, I mean, the food stylist, Maeve Sheridan, who has a studio here in New York, but the photographer, Kevin Miyazaki, is just, he's just phenomenal. And he did all the studio shots and all the shots in Italy. So basically, the deal was, Kevin, and he's based out of Minneapolis. I was like, Kevin, you have to come to Manhattan. We'll do the photo shoot in the studio, but then I want you to go to Italy and just travel and take gorgeous photos. Can you do that? And he said yes, surprisingly. And it was great because like halfway through his trip, he kind of like ended up in Rome. So he started in Sicily and worked his way north. And when he was in Rome, I met up with him there and spent a few days with him around Rome shooting and just like eating great food and just having a great time. And he's just like, he's such a great photographer and super nice, super talented. Yeah. It's just a pleasure to work with.
I mean, even the picture of the scales in the front of the book. I like the way the book's laid out, and it kind of starts with sweet stuff first, breakfast sweet stuff, coffee cakes, et cetera. But mm-hmm. I just keep going back to once I get past the triple chocolate biscotti, and I have a great friend named Scott Redler, and he's not Italian. Mm-hmm. But he and his wife, Betsy, make the best biscotti. If we're lucky, we get some for Christmas. And
that's great.
To me, making biscotti, it looks easy. It's kind of a stale cookie. Nah.
No, it's not.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to kind of like, there is an American version of a biscotti, which are these usually kind of like much larger, like lily-gilded types of cookies. And then you have your more classic Italian biscotti, which are like a little smaller and more kind of, plain Jane. But they're both really delicious and they're both fantastic biscotti in their own right. I just wanted to show kind of that interplay of like, here's an American version that's like double chocolate dipped in chocolate. So it's triple chocolate. And then here's its like kind of humble country cousin, which is, just almond and anise and just, really straightforward, but just as good.
Yeah, when you said the typical with anise and that there is something that I have fond memories of from my all too brief time in Italy. If you just want a little something after eating a meal, or you just want a little something with your tea or coffee, that kind of a biscotti. But then I keep looking at the book opens naturally for me to triple chocolate biscotti and. I guess that's my problem, but you did good. You have some neat brownie recipes, and there's a lot of things. There's butter cookies, but if you made those versus what you think you've been making, I think you'll find it different. But then I got to go and talk about the savory stuff, and it needs to. You've touched on it. It's what you use in one of your favorite sandwiches. Talk about the sourdough focaccia recipes. You've got three different recipes here. All of them look like they could be dinner by themselves. But making focaccia is something that you don't often see your friends when they have you over for dinner making.
True. true. It's a shame because it's a relatively simple bread to make. You know, it's an oil-based kind of dough, and you know, you want to use a nice, you know, if you want like a really nice tangy bite, you would use a sourdough leavener and kind of incorporate that in. And it's a wet dough, you know, and you want to give it enough time to rest. It becomes a very airy, bubbly, finished dough, and then you bake that off. And you can kind of bake it off however you want. You could use it as just as a bread and like split it open, make a sandwich out of it. You can stud it with olives or herbs, or fold in a little bit of, you know, fold in some tomatoes. In the book, I wanted to kind of create three very composed focaccias. So, you know, if you weren't just making a plain version, you can have like a quattro stagioni, which if you have been to Italy or, you know, most Italian pizzerias would have this style of pizza, which means four seasons. So it's broken into quadrants, and each quadrant is reflects the bounty of that season. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's artichokes, it's mushrooms, it's I believe there's ham. And then I have a mortadella version, and mortadella is like kind of having a moment in America right now, which is really also very delicious. But yeah, they're all really great. And that's the thing with focaccia and breads like that. You can kind of top it with whatever you want. You can finish it with, you know, whatever your preference is. And or they make a fantastic sandwich. And if you cut off the edges and toast them in the oven, they make great croutons too.
You've used the word bombas a few times throughout the book. I'm looking at the caponata bombas.
Yeah.
First, you got to start with the pizza dough, and I love the little what's it called, pizzettes.
Yes.
But you got to make pizza dough.
Yeah.
And then that's part of this recipe. But I've never had anything like this. I can't wait to try it. My wife's game for trying anything.
Awesome.
Talk about what this is.
Well, this was kind of a recipe that was born in the cafe. I'm a huge caponata fan, and for those who don't know, caponata is kind of called an agrodolce, and that means bitter sweet. So it has this like complexity of, it's like stewed and cooked vegetables. The main ingredient is usually eggplant, and it's like a tomato based, and you could throw in some sugar and vinegar, which gives it this like fun balance of sweet and savory. We had made a huge amount at the cafe, and we had a lot of leftover, and we were like, what do we do with this? And then we just kind of folded it into a pizza dough, which is also in the book in the foundation section. I kind of like break down here your, you know, the main things you need to know, and then you can cross-reference them with other recipes in the book. But so we just put some caponata in the pizza dough, kind of folded it into like a little dumpling in a way, and baked those off. And they were really, really good. You usually just eat caponata as kind of like a primo piatto, like a first course, or just like a starter appetizer with some bread. But here we're kind of combining the two.
I was surprised in the ingredients section. It has what I would think is more sugar than I would have expected, because as I look at that picture and I imagine biting it, you know, we've got onions and capers and celery and my favorite olives of all time. And folks, if you haven't had Castelvetrano olives, fix it. You got to. You know, tomatoes, but then really a pretty significant amount of sugar. Now there's a quarter cup of vinegar, so there's teammates fighting each other. But this is certainly not a sweet or even remotely sweet dish, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, it's like you have so many things kind of combating the sugar in terms of savory items, including that vinegar. So you want the sweet note to be present, but you don't want it overwhelmed. It's all about the balance of everything. So when you have all of these kind of competing forces, such a heavy side of savory, you want to make sure that the sweet is significant enough to get noticed, but not overpower. And I think that balance actually works with that volume of caponata.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. And it just, well, it looks so pretty. And, you know, this is not something that you'd throw together in 10 minutes and feed the family. They're probably a little bit of,
no.
You want to make the dough, and it's but it's probably worth every bit of that time that it would take to do this. While we're continuing in breads, savories, and street snacks, this picture, I can smell this place. It's the left-hand page of 114, 112, and it's a deli with all manner of pickled items and cheeses hanging from the ceiling and meats and sausages, and it's the page preceding Piadina.
Yep, I see it. That's Coluccio's. It's in Bensonhurst, and that's my friend Dominic. He and his family own this place, and they've owned it for quite some time. And it's a kind of importer slash wholesale slash supermarket. It's a little bit of everything, and they bring in tons of product from Italy. A lot of the Italian locals in the area shop there, and it's quite an experience. I mean, it's very local and very cool, and the food is fantastic.
Oh, I'll bet. So then that would be a place where you could buy some ingredients to go in your Piadina recipe. Talk a little bit about what that is. I mean, this recipe makes 6 9-inch Piadinas, but most people have not ever heard that word, I'm guessing. And what it entails.
Well, basically, it's just a typical flatbread, very common in Italy. Sometimes it's so flat, it looks like a tortilla in a lot of ways. It's a little blistered, and it's just basically a very, very thin sandwich bread. And what they do in Italy is, like, they'll get a piadina and they'll stuff it. The most classic version would be prosciutto, mozzarella, and some arugula, and they'll just fold it on itself and then just eat that as the sandwich. You can kind of fill it with however you'd like, you know, with whatever vegetable, whatever meat, whatever green, and just make yourself a sandwich like that. It's not as flexible as a tortilla, so it's just like a one-fold type of situation, but it's the same kind of premise, that same idea. They're really good and very easy to make.
Well, yeah, for you and for your assistant, Valerie, and she looks Italian, not Puerto Rican. I don't know.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, she's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah. This I remember, and I wouldn't have been able to dredge up Grissini, but I remember getting, you know, some olives and Parmesan Reggiano and some of these fresh baked little breadsticks and cracker things. And is Grissini the right word for the stuff I just mentioned?
Yeah, the Grissini would be the very kind of thin, tall, like stick type of cracker that you would find in, you know, most Italian restaurants will have like kind of like a cup with like individually wrapped Grissini if they don't make them in-house. Or if they do make them in-house, you're very fortunate because those are usually the delicious ones. Ones that are usually wrapped are kind of, you know, they're not the best. They can be stale sometimes. So I just wanted to kind of create a homemade Grissini that would wow people and have like a nice flavor punch. So, you know, the pecorino and the pepper in that, it's a great and relatively easy kind of cracker to make.
Yeah, I can see that round, call it a glass or a flower vase, with those fresh baked sticks sticking out, not wrapped.
Yep.
And you try not to eat too many of them because you really want to have lunch. But okay,
yeah.
One more savory.
Okay.
Cacio pepe arancini. And I'd be willing to bet a lot of my listeners have had, because there's a couple restaurants here in town that make a variation of this, an arancini. And it's little puff golden brown balls of goodness.
Yeah, they're fantastic. It's a typical Southern Italian, it's a street food, really. And they're fried rice balls, typically. And the way you classically have them is with a ragu sauce and a little mozzarella kind of like in the center. And then it's this a very aromatic rice that's surrounding it. And then it's deep fried. They're usually round shape or conically shaped, depending on where in Sicily and southern Italy you have them. Rome has another version of that called souple, which are more kind of, I guess, like football shaped. So it's Italians love fried things. So this is a very typical, kind of like street food, something you would have on the go or something you would have like as a quick bite with a friend. I kind of played with it a little and made a cacio e pepe version. So the rice is folded in with some mozzarella and pecorino and crushed black pepper. And it's just, it is a wonderful bite. And I play with the coating. Usually you'll use a fine breadcrumb. I kind of threw in some panko breadcrumbs as well to give it a little kind of crispier texture. And they're wonderful. Another thing that you could really customize once you kind of get the basic steps down and know how to make it, you could have a lot of fun with that.
I'll bet. Well, shoot. We're running out of time, but I still have, I don't know. I just, the chocolate pizzelles, my next door neighbor makes pizzelles for Christmas and we get a little round tin of them, but she's always made the typical with a little anise and this has chocolate, and chocolate is one of my main food groups. And so then the amaretto chocolate bundt cake on page 223, if you could put this on a table in front of people, they wouldn't want to cut it. Because it just looks so pretty. Wow.
It's a stunner. Yeah. Really pretty.
Well,
and really good if you like amaretto, you know.
Well, look, I like chocolate. You could, it's hard to mess chocolate up. You can put most anything in it.
True.
The book is so cool. Folks, it's called Dolce. You can get one. The official date is June 25th. Is that right?
That's right. June 25th, it'll be delivered. But you could pre-order it pretty much anywhere books are sold.
Yeah. And you would want to learn more about it, of course, by going to ChowGloria.com to learn about the background. And then if you do nothing but go to Instagram and look up ChowGloria, C-I-A-O-G-L-O-R-I. There's links at Good Life Guy. And you just thumb down the page. And if you're on a diet, don't do this. Do not do this. What a treat. Congratulations. But I think rather than just being a James Beard nominee, you might have the opportunity of being a grand total winner here this year because the book is so cool. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you. It was great to be on.
You know, it's just, I'm so lucky. I get to talk to people and learn their stories and see the different ways people put books together, and I just love it. We're going to give away a copy thanks to Carrie Bachman and you and all that stuff. But I want to bid you farewell, wish you the best of luck. I know that you don't need luck. You have talent, and it looks like you hire well. So keep up the good work. You got another book in the mind, in the works?
We never know. Let me get this one out first, and then we can talk.
Your mom would really like a companion book on the coffee table.
I'm sure she would.
Renato, have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks a lot, and congratulations on the new book.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Okay, so folks, you want a copy of this book? Of course you do. And it would, there's so many things in this that would go great with Prosecco, and that's the wine of the week. How do you know you're going to get one? Well, of course, you can go pre-order one. There's a link at goodlifeguy.com to take you right to Amazon. I get no credit for that because I'm lazy. But what I want you to do is be the fifth caller now to get a copy of the book. You know the drill. 316-869-1330. Call now. Max will take down your info. And hopefully within the next week or so, you'll be getting a copy of Dolce. It's just so cool. I love the fact that there's savory and sweet. The name would make you think it's sweet, but it's great. We'll be right back. Wine of the week and more. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.